Song of Solomon, chapter 2, is the passage we come to again this afternoon. Song of Solomon, chapter 2. Again, we read here a few verses in this chapter, the opening verses. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Amen. Let's ask now for God's help as I come to the preaching of his word today. Our Father in heaven, we just thank you for our Saviour. We thank you, Lord, even as we have been singing, he is all that we need. We bless you that he is all that we need for life, eternal life. And he is all that we need for help and living the Christian life. He is the one who sustains. He is the one who provides for his people. We thank you for all that we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, now even as we come to your word, pray, O Lord, thou would speak to us from the word of Christ. We thank you, Lord, you've given to us thy word for our strengthening, for our sustaining. And we pray, O God, that thou would sustain us, thou would strengthen us even as we come to listen to your truth today. Give to us hearts that are receptive to your word. Give to us that mind that is ready to hear. We pray, O God, thou wouldst give us help in the preaching of your word today. But Lord, more than that, give us help to obey it. Give us help, Lord, to hide your truth deep within our hearts, that we may live in a way that is acceptable in thy sight. So Lord, just come meet our needs now. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the Lord Jesus ministered on earth, one of the distinguishing features of his ministry was the parables which he taught. Christ spoke many parables, all of which were for the spiritual benefit and were for the spiritual welfare of the people. The parables of the Lord Jesus declared in a simple, familiar way the most profound and the most essential truth. One of the many parables Christ taught is that one we call the parable of the tares and the wheat. The parable of the tares and the wheat. And we have it recorded for us in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 24 to 30. That is the only place that is recorded in Matthew's Gospel. It speaks of how a man sowed good wheat seed in his field. But then at night the enemy came and sowed tares in the field. After his servants had sowed wheat, the enemy came along at night time and they sowed tares in the good man's field. As the wheat sprang up, the tares also appeared. And when the farmer's servants realized what had happened, they came to their master, and they said to him, "Will we pull up the tares that are growing with the wheat? Will we take them out? Will we separate them from the wheat?" But the owner of the field said to his servants, "Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Now this parable which Christ taught concerning the tares and the wheat is a very, very solemn parable. It is a solemn parable, for it clearly teaches us of the final harvest. It teaches us what will happen at the end of time. It teaches us of how at the end of time there will be a harvest, and that harvest will bring a great separation. The peoples of this world will be finally separated. The wheat, Christ's people, will be gathered into the heavenly store. But the tares, those that have lived in sin and those that have rejected Christ, will be cast into hell and into everlasting burning. And so the parable of the tares and the wheat brings before us in a very simple and a very unmistakable way the most serious and the most solemn truth. There is coming a harvest day. There is coming a harvest into this world. The great final harvest. And that harvest will bring a most serious and a most solemn separation. A separation where those that have rejected Christ will be cast away. And those that have received Christ, those that have believed in Him, those that are trusting in Him, those that can say that He is my Savior, they will be brought into heaven. They will be brought into God's home for all eternity. And into the place of eternal bliss. And this parable sets this before us in the clearest and most vivid manner. It sets before us very solemn truth. And we must not consider it without pondering these words. Where will we be in this harvest? Where will we be if this harvest was to be today? If God was to separate the peoples of this meeting? If God was to come into this meeting and separate on one side those that are saved and those that are lost, on what side of this building would you be placed into? This is how we must consider these words. Because the harvest is coming. And so this parable is a very solemn one. Yet as we think of the parable of the tares and the wheat, it also teaches us something else. It brings before us another important truth. You see, it reminds us of the condition of the church, or the condition of God's people in the world. We are told that the owner of the field gave the order to let both the wheat and the tares grow together in the field. That was the order. The servant wanted, or the servants wanted, to come along and take out the wheat, or take out the tares, so that the wheat could grow. That's what they thought. But the owner of the field says, no, let them grow together. And the thought is, they were to grow side by side. By growing in the same field, they were there living together. They were there in the same place until the harvest. And so it is for Christ's people. So it is for the church in this world. At this moment in time, it is Christ's will that His people live in a world of sin. This is where we are found. This is the reality of our lives. We are living in a world of sin. We're living in a place surrounded by wickedness and by sinfulness. We're living amongst a sinful people. And this is the position of the church in this world. Here we are like the wheat amongst the tares, living day by day, growing day by day, existing side by side with the tares. And this is what this parable brings before us. Brings before us the condition of the church in this world. As the Savior prayed for His people in His great high priestly prayer in John 17, He prayed, I pray not that Thou shouldst take them out of this world, or out of the world, but that Thou shouldst keep them from the evil. And you see, this is Christ's will for our lives. Christ doesn't pray that we'll be taken out of the world, but He prays for us as we live in this world, that we'll be kept from the evil. Therefore, we can clearly say that it is Christ's will for our lives that we live in this sinful world at this time. And of course, our purpose as we live in this sinful world is to serve Christ. It is to live for Him. Christ made this very clear as He preached in the Sermon on the Mount. He described His people as the salt of the earth and as the light of the world. And this is the very nature, this is the very manner of our lives. We are to be a purifying element in this world. We are to illuminate a darkened world. That's why we're here. That's why we're living beside the tares. We might be the salt of the earth. This is our position in this world. And so the parable of the tares and wheat reminds us of the condition of the church in this world. Now as we come to the words that I want us to consider today in the Song of Solomon, this very same thought, the very same truth is set before us. The words that I want us to consider today are the words of verse 2 here in chapter 2 of the Song of Solomon. Notice what it says. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. So is my love among the daughters. The speaker here in this verse is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord Jesus that says, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. The Lord Jesus is speaking these words concerning His people. He's speaking these words concerning His bride. And what the Lord Jesus is bringing us to consider as He speaks of His people here is the possession of His people. The possession of His bride. The possession of the church as she lives in this sinful world. The church of Christ in this world is like a lily growing among the thorns. She is Christ's love among the daughters of men. And this is what these words are really bringing before us. As Christ spoke in Matthew 13, in the parable of the tares and the wheat, he spoke of his people being the wheat and the world being the tares. But as Christ speaks here in the Song of Solomon in chapter 2, verse 2, he's speaking about his people being the lily and the world being the thorns. You see, in both cases, the same thought or the same subject is brought before us. And it is the subject of the church living in a sinful world, or the Christian living in a sinful world. This is the subject I want us to consider today, as we think of how Christ describes the Christian as bride, as the lily among the thorns. We're thinking of how the Christian lives in a sinful world. And there are three things that I want us to note here as we think of the Christian living in a sinful world. The first thing we see here in these words is the character of the Christian in this sinful world. The character of the Christian. As the Lord Jesus describes the Christian as the lily among thorns, we are immediately faced with a contrast here. A great contrast. It would be hard to find two more contrasting plants than the lily and the thorn. They virtually have no similarities. They share no common traits. And you see, what the Holy Spirit is doing here, as he speaks of the Christian, he is employing the method of contrast to highlight the character of the Christian in this world. He's contrasting two diverse things. When a jeweler brings out a diamond ring or some expensive jewel or stone, and he's displaying that before a potential customer, very often what the jeweler will do is he will lay out a piece of black cloth, perhaps a bit of black velvet cloth. And then he will place the expensive stone in the middle of the cloth. And he will cause the light to shine upon the diamond or the jewel or that stone. And as the light hits the stone upon the black background, that jewel appears all the more splendid. It appears all the more glorious because of contrast. It shines out all the more brighter. Well, this is what is taking place in our text. This is exactly what's happening in our text. It is highlighting the character and the features of the Christian upon the backdrop of a black and sinful world. And that is what the Holy Spirit is doing here. The lily among thorns provides a striking contrast. A striking contrast that reveals to us very clearly the true character of the Christian in a sinful world. And of course, the Christian, the true child of God, as they live in the sinful world, there is a striking contrast. A most striking contrast. And that is what is seen here as we compare the lily and the thorn. In comparing the lily with the thorn, the glory of the lily shines through in a number of ways. We see here the purity of the lily's character. The purity of the lily's character. The lily plant that is spoken of here was one that was radiant white in colour. Now, I know today lily plants, right? I don't know much about plants. I got a wee bit of hassle last week after talking about flowers, because I really don't know anything about flowers. But according to my research, lily flowers today come in many different colours and many different forms. But the lily plant that is spoken of in the Word of God speaks about a plant that was white, radiant white and bright in color. In the original Hebrew, the noun lily is translated out of the Hebrew word sous. And this Hebrew verb sous means to be bright, to be bright. And so with the very nature of the Hebrew word here, lily, gives the idea of a plant or a flower that is so white, so pure, it is bright. It is radiantly bright. It is radiantly white. It is pure. And that is why the lily symbolizes purity in the Bible. That's why it speaks of purity, because it is this plant, this flower, that is white in its color. Gloriously white. Now, if we then consider the thorn, well, it's the complete opposite. It's the complete contrast. The thorn that is common to the land of Israel is almost black in colour. And in the word of God, the thorn reminds us of sin, and it reminds us of the curse of sin. God told Adam, because of his sin, cursed is the ground for thy sake, thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And so after Adam sinned, after he disobeyed God, God said, listen, I'm going to curse the ground. And what was the sign that God would curse the ground? It brought forth thorns. Black, hard thorns. And so thorns speak about sin, and they speak about the curse of sin. As the Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, remember what they did? They made a crown of thorns for his head. Those black and ghastly thorns were plaited into a crown and embedded upon the Savior's holy head. That's what happened. And oh, what terrible truth it demonstrates for us as Christ wore the crown of thorns. He was and is the holy, innocent and pure one. Yet what did sinful men do? They crowned him with a crown that symbolized sin and symbolizes God's curse. That's what they did. When they placed the crown of thorns upon his head, unwittingly, they were crowning Christ with the curse and the very mark of sin. And of course, this is what happened on the cross. As Christ was upon the cross, we crowned him with our sin. We crowned him with our curse. Christ was the sin bearer. And it is such a striking picture to think of Christ being crowned with the crown of thorns, symbolizing he has taken our curse, he has taken our judgment, he has taken our punishment as he dies upon the cross. That is what the crown of thorns testifies. That's what it speaks to us of. Christ, the great sin bearer. This is what we have given to him. This is what we have placed upon him. Our sin. And that's why he died. That is why the wrath of God was poured upon his holy son. That's why God forsook his son. Because we crowned him with the curse. Crowned him with those thorns. So therefore, this is what the thorn speaks about. It speaks about sin. It speaks about the consequences of sin. The curse of sin. The black thorn. But here in our text today, see that the character of the Christian, the character of Christ's bride in this sinful world, is that she is like the lily among the thorns. She's like the lily amongst the thorns. In other words, the life of the Christian is marked by holiness and marked by purity in a black and an unholy world. That is what is being taught here. That is what is being conveyed here. The Christian life is a holy life in the midst of an unholy world. This is how Christ describes his people. They are radiantly holy in the midst of a world that is rottenly wicked. This is the character of the lily, you see. This is what Christ is bringing out. Ephesians 5 and 8 tells us, for ye were sometimes, or ye were formerly darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. The Christian is someone who's holy in character, pure in life. No man has the right to claim to be a Christian. No man or woman or person has the right to claim to be saved. There isn't a holy character about their lives. They don't have the right to claim it. Because Christ is setting forth the very character of his bride here. My bride is like the lily. She's pure. Even amongst the black thorns of this world. We see here the purity of the lily. Of the lily's character. Notice also here the peacefulness of the lily's character. Again, as we contrast the lily with the thorn, we could say the lily is a gracious plant. Whereas the thorn is a grieving plant. The lily is gracious, the thorn is grieving. While walking in the countryside, one could quite easily trample upon a lily. And they wouldn't be aware of it, even if they were barefoot. You could easily trample upon a lily, this small flower, this white, tender flower. You could trample upon it with your foot. You're barefoot and you wouldn't even know. But the same cannot be said of the thorn. The sharp thorn found in the land of Israel would not only pierce skin, it would also pierce through leather and cause excruciating pain. It was a very violent, a very fierce looking thing. In fact, the Hebrew word thorn is a derivative of the verb to pierce. And that's what it is taken from. It's taken from the verb to pierce. And it speaks about how it hurts, how it causes pain, how it is an offensive thing. And that's the very idea as the thorn was named. What is this teaching us? Well, it's teaching us the Christian is not only marked by purity in this world, but it's teaching us the Christian, the child of God, is also marked by peacefulness in this cruel world. This old sinful world is one filled with every form of strife and war. We see it all around us. This world is filled with bitterness and hatred and jealousy and strife and envy and backbiting and the multitude of other contentions. This world is filled with these cruel thorns, and we see them all around us. This is the nature of this world. It's offensive. But the Christian, the child of God, is to have a different character. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 10, verse 16, "Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore as wise as serpents and as harmless as doves." See how Christ describes his people in comparison to this world? Oh yes, they're like wolves out there. There are those that will consume you. There are those that will bite you. There are those that will injure you. But you're to be like the sheep and to be like the dove. Or here in our text, like the lily, inoffensive, peaceful in your nature. Gentle and tender. Again, Paul told the Christians in Philippi, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Think of what Paul is saying. He describes this world as crooked and perverse. But what's he saying to God's people? He says that ye be blameless and harmless. And notice the words, "the sons of God." See how he describes the people in Philippi? As the sons of God. He's saying, you'd have the nature of God. Godly nature about you, which is blameless and harmless. Gracious, he's speaking about you, see. This is the nature of the Christian. The character of the Christian is to be one of peacefulness. And this should be our character as we live in this world. Not always filled with strife and wanting to be filled with jealousy and envy at others. But different, peaceful. Peaceful. Peacefulness of the lily's character. The purity of the lily's character. Notice also here the productiveness of the lily's character. The lily flowers, we noted last time, not only attractive to look upon, but it was also used to make perfumes. And that's how the lily was used in Bible times. It was gathered by the young ladies and they extracted the oils from the flower and then they made perfumes. And as they made perfumes from the lily flower, it brought sweetness and richness to people's lives. That's what it did. It was a pleasant thing. It was a helpful thing. The thorn, on the other hand, had one purpose. And that was, it was good for burning. It was good for burning. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 6 talks of the crackling of the thorns under a pot. The crackling of the thorns under a pot. And you see, that's what thorns were used for. They were gathered, and they were hard, and they were dry, and they were good for burning. And that was the use of the thorns. And so again, the contrast ought to be seen in the life of a Christian. Our lives are to be rich. They are to be sweet. They are to be purposeful. They are to have a meaning to them. As we live as God's people in this world, we're not to live unto ourselves selfish lives, but we are to live lives that will be beneficial and will be helpful to others. First of all, of course, we are to serve Christ. And every day that we live, we are to serve Him in all that we do and do all for His glory. But in serving Christ, we will also serve others. We will bring a sweetness into the lives of others. We will bring a helpfulness into the lives of others. There is to be a productiveness in our lives. The Lord Jesus, as He preached, He told the people that they were to store up treasure not on earth, where it could be corrupt and it could rot and it could decay. But He says they were to store up treasure in heaven. That's speaking about productiveness. True productiveness in the Christian life. How many in this world, how many of the unsaved, they live lives, and as far as the eyes of men are concerned, the opinions of men are concerned, they are very successful. They live lives of prosperity, lives of success. And they make gain, they make advancement in worldly things, material gain. Many look upon them and they're envious of them. But you know, the unsaved, as they come to die, what have they got? What have they got? They've got nothing. And all that will happen is this. They will perish in hell forever. Perish forever in utter darkness. This is not the nature of God's people. The character of the child of God is to be one of productiveness. I wonder, Christian, today as we look at these words, as we think of the lily here, as it speaks of the character of the Christian in this world, I wonder, how does your life compare to these things? Is there a clear demarcation between you and the world? A clear contrast? You're one who's holy and you're living a sanctified life. In your conduct, there's a complete change, a complete contrast. Is there a peacefulness about your life? You're not someone that is always arguing and having contentions with your brothers and sisters or others outside in this world. Is your life productive? Productive not as far as the world is concerned, but productive as far as the things of God is concerned. You see, this is the very character. This is the nature of the lily among the thorns. This is the contrast that God, by Spirit, sets before us today. Now, how does it compare to our lives? How do we compare to these things? Well, we must hold up our lives to the Word of God today. We must examine our spiritual standing. We must examine where we are. Are we truly lilies among thorns? The character of the Christian in this sinful world. Our time is gone today. And I don't want to rush over my next 2 points, so I think we'll leave it there and we'll come back next week to this subject. But let us just ponder these words. Character of the lily, the nature of the lily among the thorns. What is your life in the midst of a sinful, thorny, black world? Is it like that lily? And you think of the lily again, growing amongst the black, dark thorns in Israel. It was so different. It stood out so clearly, so unmistakably stood out. But Christian, this is to be us. And if this is not us, if this is not how the world looks upon us, if this is not how we are viewed, then we have got serious problems, spiritually speaking. And we need to get right with God. We need to seek Christ today. May God bless His word to our hearts and help us even, not only to be hearers of His word, but to be doers of His word today.